Monday, June 4th, 2007 edition of the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Got a good show for you today. I've got Charlotte Iserby coming up, who wrote the book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. But before I get into that, she'll be coming up in just a few minutes here after the break. But I need to make my daily announcements. Remember, if you want a copy of Freedom to Fascism, just simply email Bobby at freedom777@safemail.net. Again, that's freedom777@safe-mail.net. freedom777@safe-mail.net. I'm doing that from memory, folks, today, so bear with me. Remember the gas out. If you don't want the gas up to $4 a gallon, do all you can do to tell your friends, do not buy any gas at Exxon or Mobil, okay? Anywhere else is fine. Don't buy any gas there. Hopefully we can keep the prices down. Want to remind everybody that we're still on a pledge drive. We've raised some money. I want to thank everybody that contributed. Those that didn't contribute, please do. We still have a ways to go here. We're making a comeback, folks. We're moving at the end of the month. Going to stay in Round Rock, Texas. But if you would, if you haven't already donated, please dig down. Donate $100, $50, $25, whatever you can. Get on republicbroadcasting.org. Click on PayPal. Make a donation, whatever you can afford to do. It's appreciated, and you feel better by doing it. Or you can mail it in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays Street, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or simply pick up the phone and call 800-724-2719, and that's extension 116 prior to 6 o'clock, or if it's after 6 o'clock, extension 115. You can always talk to Julie or Sandra before 6 o'clock. After 6 o'clock, you can talk to whoever happens to be the engineer. I think tonight it will be Marcus. So with that, let's move right along. I want to make an announcement about Ron Paul. For those of you who do not know, there is a third debate tomorrow night. Okay, remember, we're all fighting this good fight to keep Ron Paul in these debates. The third debate among the GOP presidential candidates will be held on Tuesday, June 5th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the Thomas Sullivan Arena on the St. Anselm College campus in Manchester, New Hampshire. The debate will be broadcast live on CNN, CNN Radio, CNN.com, WMUR-TV, WMUR.com, and UnionLeader.com. CNN's Wolf Blitzer will moderate with questions from Scott Spradling of WMUR-TV and Tom Fahey from the New Hampshire Union Leader. Campaign supporters will have a designated rally area in the parking lot in front of the Joan of Arc Residence Hall. That parking lot is in sight line of the Sullivan Arena. The earliest supporters can arrive at 4 o'clock on debate day. All signs must be carried in and carried out. No 4x8 signs will be permitted. No signs allowed staked in the ground, including along St. Anselm Drive. No blowhorns, bands, loudspeakers, audio systems will be allowed. So there you go. We got another debate coming up tomorrow. Let's see, that's June 5th. Today's the 4th. Yeah, Tuesday night. I think they're always on Tuesday night. So we got another debate coming up June 5th. Rah, rah, root for Ron Paul. It should be interesting, the questions that are posed for him. The CNN's Wolf Blitzer will moderate. We'll see what kind of questions that they have devised for Mr. Paul tomorrow night. At any rate, I've seen him twice now, and I think he can hold his own. But let's be rooting for him. We want to give him all the support that we can give him. Let's see. What else have we got going here before the break comes up here? I guess the only other thing to tell you is a little bit about my guest, Charlotte Iserby, before she comes up, but I'll do that after the break, so stick with me. I'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Good show for you today. Stick around.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Before I get to my guest, I want to make a quick mention. Guests I've got coming up this week, Don Nikoloff, tomorrow's show with an update on Wantagate. On Wednesday, I've got Pastor Joe Schimmel, who's going to talk to us about them selling their souls for rock and roll. I've got Jack McLamb coming up. Jack has got that police and military institute up there in Idaho, and he's going to talk to us for a while. But that'll be coming up this week. Stick around. I want to talk to you about Charlotte Iserby. Tell you, Charlotte is the consummate whistleblower. She served as a senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement, that's the OERI, the U.S. Department of Education, during the first Reagan administration, where she first blew the whistle on a major technology initiative which would control the curriculum in America's classrooms. Charlotte is a former school board director in Camden, Maine, and was co-founder and research analyst of Guardians for Education for Maine from 78 to 2000. She's also served in the American Red Cross on Guam and Japan during the Korean War and in the United States Foreign Service in Belgium and in the Republic of South Africa. Iserby is a speaker and writer best known for a 1985 booklet, Back to Basics Reform, the Skinnerian International Curriculum, and our 1989 pamphlet, Soviets in the Classrooms, America's Latest Education Fad, which covered the details of the U.S.-Soviet and Carnegie-Soviet education agreements, which remain in effect to this day. She's a freelance writer and has had articles published in the Human Events, the Washington Times, the Bangor Daily News, and included in the record of congressional hearings. So without any further ado, let's go to my special guest, Charlotte Iserby. Charlotte, are you with me?
Yes, good afternoon, Michael, and thank you very much for having me on your program.
Not a problem. Interesting lady. I wanted to tell this quick story. The way I thought of you, because I know you wrote that book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, and I walked into a Whataburger last week. I dropped you an email, I think.
Yes, and,
very
amusing.
Yeah, the guy, I mean.
Well, sort of, huh?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it depends on which way
Bad.
You look at it. The cash registers in all of these, you know, fast food restaurants even have the pictures of the order on there. It's not just a price.
No.
And this guy had to have help, Charlotte, from his manager just to find the picture and to make change. So where are they getting these people from? I mean, what's the story? What's going on here?
Well, basically, it's hard. It took me years because I'm a slow learner, I guess. It took me years. I didn't want to admit it, to believe this, to realize that the goal of American education is certainly since 1965, and further back with the elitists planning the whole thing, like Carnegie and Rockefeller. But the goal really, including educators, from 1965 on, with Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, has been to produce workers, the worker bee.
Mm-hmm.
It has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with your children having the possibility of ever hearing about Shakespeare or knowing anything about Western civilization or how to calculate, really truly calculate, and to solve problems and to speak properly, to be able to write well with proper English, to possibly even consider speaking a foreign language. It has never really had anything to do with that. Now, people could say, oh, well, that's not true because, you know, I was in school after 1965, and I did. Yes, yes, a lot of very good teachers have been hanging in there and hiding out, so to speak, behind closed doors. And they are to be commended and thanked, and there's still some in there, because they've been up against a wall of censorship and dictatorial edicts, principals as well, told to do things that they didn't want to do. And so all I can say is, but basically, the goal has not been academic. The goal has been to change their behavior, which one calls behavior modification, whether it's a matter of dumbing them down so they don't know what country they live in or what their form of government is or what the Constitution is. And we see that all around us now. I mean, with the people allowing what's going in with under George Bush and the Patriot Act and Real ID and all. People don't care. Why do you care, Charlotte, if the police come in your house if you don't have anything to hide? Those are the individuals who never were taught history or the Constitution, what form of government we had. So when these outrageous to you and to me incidents occur with the police in this country, they or with regionalism or whatever you want to talk about that sounds innocent, the American people say... They don't care, because if you don't know what you have, obviously it's pretty simple, if you don't know that you have a pizza in your lap, if someone comes and takes it away from you, you don't care. Or if you don't, you know, if you don't know you have something, why do you care if it's taken away? How can you care? Not why. How can you? And that's what I always say. American people have been so dumbed down. They don't know our form of government. They don't know our Bill of Rights, our Constitution. And I really do want to mention later on the my secondary website, American Deception,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great website. There's a very short entry, which is only about 10 pages, so it doesn't take much downloading. It's an eighth grade test on the Constitution in 1953 in Central California. Public school.
Right. Now tell me, I'm on that site right now, Charlotte,
yep.
And I want to know, because I go over to the left-hand side and there's, you know, a lot of different subject matter,
right.
Communism, economics. Where
yeah.
specifically is that one?
Well, just go up to the little search engine up in the right, upper right-hand,
uh-huh.
See, and type in, if that would come under education, but if you want to get it quickly, just type in Hignite, H-I-G-N-I-T-E.
Okay.
Now, for those who didn't hear me say that, you know, when they're looking on that website and they're interested in education, they would just click on education, and they would find that, a list of documents related to what's going on in education. They would find Hignite there, but it takes longer. But the little search engine, if you just type that in, It will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gave that to me out in California. I was speaking out there. I came up and said, I'd like to, you may be interested in this. And
well, I tell you what, I've read it. I mean, I just went into there, but I remember going through here during some of my research on the school system, and I remember running across this specific test. But, you know, as you speak here, it brings up a lot of questions to me. I know, and I'm not an advocate of TV. I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But I do know I've seen a clip that Jay Leno, on his nightly show, and I don't know whether it's once a week or whatever, he has this thing where they go out in the street and they ask questions to the American public.
Yeah.
And I've watched that on a clip or on TV, maybe I did it channel surfing twice or maybe three times, and I'm just appalled at the simple questions that are asked of the American people that can't get the answers right. I mean, they don't know who Abraham Lincoln is.
Oh, no.
They don't know anything.
Well, I don't even think, you know, we've got the number of states that we have. I don't even think they know where some states are. I mean, if you ask someone down in, not well-educated person down in Arizona or Texas or wherever, you know, out west, because Maine is on the East Coast, where is Maine? I don't think they would know. They'd say, Maine, what's that?
It's the corner of Main Street and Central, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really doubt it. It's a real tragedy because it didn't have to happen. It's total abuse of human beings and children, handicapping. It's a crime. It's totally criminal. First of all, you know, if you don't care about people, it's criminal to be spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year on education, and the purpose of it is to dumb the students down and to change their attitudes, values, and beliefs,
mm-hmm.
so they will be comfortable living in a one-world socialist dictatorship.
Right.
And that, you know, I have all the quotes in my book, quotes telling you that. That is exactly the role of the public schools. Now, I mean, Benjamin Bloom put it best, you know, because he can't, you know, give out 5,000 quotes on a radio talk show, but I always say there's one quote, and he's the father of outcomes-based education, No Child Left Behind, the Pavlovian method, you know, dog training. He's the father of this, and he's the one who all the teachers have to go through his taxonomy. He's dead. He died a few years ago. Actually, he died the day my book came out. Really, very interesting. And he said the purpose of education is to change the thoughts, actions, and feelings of students. And then he went on to define good teaching. And that's even worse, I think. A parent would think it was worse. The purpose of it, he defined good teaching as challenging the students' fixed beliefs. And then he went on to say that he could take a student from A to Z, say, from a belief in God to believing there is no God, in 1 hour.
That's scary. You know, on the subject of, and I was going to, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was going to bring this up just before you did, because, you know, mainstream media, you hear these little phrases, you know, outcome-based education or No Child Left Behind bill, and you see these politicians getting on there and they're banging their hand on the podium. They're talking about how great it is and the funding that they need for it and so forth and so on. But really, in essence, what this is, it's a totally different form of education. In other words, it's not teaching you to be a rocket scientist or, you know, a civil engineer or whatever. It's teaching you how to go with the flow. Am I right? I mean, just,
well, yes, and to be a good little collectivist. And there's one quote, it's in my book, I don't have it with me right now, but it's James Locke, very high up, a
mm-hmm.
professor with William Spady, and he was the father of, you know, with Mastery Learning, Benjamin Bloom, outcomes-based ed. James Locke, you know, he has, there's a quote in my little book, Back to Basics, and he just comes right out and says it's not fair. It's just not fair for some students to do better than others and to get ahead. And so basically we've just got to individualize the education and bring it down to the lowest common denominator so that everybody can get a good grade. He says that. My feeling was that's redistribution of brains.
Well, okay, we got to take a break, Charlotte.
Yeah.
But hold on with me, okay? We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Michael Herzog with my special guest, Charlotte Iserby. We're going to get into some more detail on this. Stick with us. You're listening to republicbroadcasting.org, 12180 shortwave. It gets better. Stick around.
K Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Short segment coming up here. Come a little bit closer and hear what Charlotte Iserby has to say. She was a policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement in the Department of Education during the Reagan administration. She's got a lot to say today. Go ahead and continue, Charlotte, with your thought.
I will. During the break, I went and got this My Little Book, Back to Basics Reform.
Okay.
For Outcomes-Based Ed. Skinnerian International Curriculum. That little book is on my Deliberate Dumbing Down website, so you can read it there. It's so short. It's a very, very important book. And I'm sorry to have to tell your listeners that when it came out in 1985, it was boycotted by every single major conservative group.
Really?
Yes, it was. And I guess because I call him St. Ronald, right? The nail in the coffin of American education was pounded in under Ronald Reagan. And I saw it. And it was very sad, and I didn't want to believe it because I was a great supporter of the president.
Well, let me stop you right there and just ask your opinion. Do you honestly think that Ronald Reagan was really running the administration, or do you think they had him on drugs and George H.W. Bush was running it behind the scenes? I don't know.
I really do believe that he was running it because he chose Secretary T.H. Bell
mm-hmm.
to be the Secretary of Education. And T.H. Bell is the father of outcomes-based education.
Okay.
He had been in Utah for years. He believed in the Skinner method. The worst programs that made children sick came out of Utah. The Far West Lab grant that put outcomes-based education into the whole country, which was absolutely contrary to federal law, any pilot that would put it into every state, and I got all the documents on it, that was out of Utah, and Ronald Reagan approved that. And, you know, and then when I was finally fired, excuse me, you know, relieved of my duties.
Yes, asked to resign, maybe, yes.
Yeah, I wrote him a letter, and it did get to him, and one of the journalists in Washington at the time got through to the White House to find out if he'd ever received it,
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't getting an answer. And Reagan's secretary said, yes, he's got the letter on his desk, he's marked it up, and sent it on to Ed Meese. But that letter that I wrote to the president is also at deliberatedumbingdown.com. It's one of the PDFs there. And I never got an answer. I told him it's a Marxist factory, and this is totally, I thought you wanted to get rid of the U.S. Department of Ed. Well, what's happening here is it's just being strengthened through the National Institute of Education, which is the research arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed to be fired a marvelous, I mean, this tells you he knew what he was doing. The director of the National Institute of Education, Edward Curran, the former headmaster of the Cathedral School in Washington,
mm-hmm.
wonderful man, very apolitical, right? He got in there, he saw what was going on, as well as I did, right, all of us, that it was Marxism. And Ed Curran recommended that his own office, the National Institute of Education, which really is responsible for the philosophy, et cetera, of education worldwide, he recommended that it be abolished, his own office. He wrote the president a letter, and it got through to the president. The president was out of town. He was in Europe. But the White House sent the letter back to the Secretary of Education, T.H. Bell, from Utah. And Bell fired Edward Curran. The president came back and let it stand, which he did not have to do. He should have fired the Secretary of Education and put Edward Curran in charge of the department. These are things that are very unpleasant things to have to discuss. But they have to be said because we have been taken to the cleaners. And education is the most important department in Washington because that has to do with what people think, know, and do,
mm-hmm.
and how they perceive the world around them. And if you allow brainwashing to take place under the guise of outcomes-based education and Skinner and Pavlov, which is what's going on right now, basically, George Bush is the worst because he is the one pushing the they call it the Reading First program, which uses dog training, right, to teach children how to read. And I know that because I've seen the teacher training video.
Let me stop you right there and ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
When we saw the video clip of George Bush in the school on the morning of September 11th,
yes.
Was that what he was pushing? Is that
You're not kidding. You know what? It's an interesting question. He had a book. I think he was reading it upside down.
Yes, he was. Pet Goat, yes.
But that Pet Goat book is direct instruction. And direct instruction is the program that is definitely Skinner. We have seen the teacher training for that program.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers, it made me sick. When I always feel that you have to see it yourself before you can write about it. Huh? And so we had the video, and you have the teachers using hand signals.
Hand signals.
Like, hand signals, like with dogs?
Yes,
uh-huh. And they're popping candies?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And this particular system of reward, stimulus, response, et cetera, which brings about the correct answers or whatever, but there's no thinking going on. It bypasses the brain totally.
All right.
And that's why they will say that the Reading First program works well. The grades first, second, third grade are doing very well.
All right. We've got to hold that thought.
Yep.
All right. Let's get back to it when we get back from the break.
Okay.
Long segment coming up next. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Charlotte Iserby. Stick with us. We'll be back in three with some better stuff. Depends on your perspective. This is bad stuff, but it could be good. Depends.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. I have a quick announcement before I get back to my guests. I want to tell all the listeners out there that the C-band feed for Republic is ending tomorrow. There's a new KV dishes available at RBN for $159. So upgrades for C-band to KV band is available also. You want to call 800-724-2719. That is ending tomorrow, folks. So you just want to mark that on your calendar. Well, let's get back to my guest, Charlotte Iserby. Okay, Charlotte, let's see. Where were we here?
Well, I think we were talking about Ronald Reagan. And,
yes.
I say this, you know, with real sadness, because I worked very hard for him, and that's why I got into the department. The White House recommended me for that particular position.
Mm-hmm.
And before I went in, this is just a brief aside, United Republicans of California, that group, conservative group, which has just come out for Ron Paul, of course, back then they had a little book that they published, I believe. I think it was probably something by the name of Stefan. And it was called Here's the Rest of Him, Reagan.
Ah, yes.
Because
okay.
They were opposed to his running for president and or as a candidate. And it was sent to me, and I got really angry with them because I thought, this is, you know, I just couldn't believe what I read the first chapter, I think, and it just blew me away. And so I didn't finish the book, right?
And they were conflicting with your
Yes. So I know how people feel when I start talking like this. It must upset them.
Well, you know, I mean, you go back to hindsight being 2020. I go back to the Reagan years, and you know, I liked Ronald Reagan. I voted for Ronald Reagan, and you know, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall. That sort of good stuff that was good PR. And then I find out later on that you know there's other reasons why that wall came down. It had nothing to do with what Ronald Reagan said on television. But anyway,
a very good actor. Well, anyway, so when I go down there, and then I, interestingly enough, the assistant secretary, before they took me on board, he called me one night before I was on board and said, will you be loyal?
Will you be loyal depending on what?
Yeah, I mean, will you be loyal? And I thought...
What a loaded question.
And I thought, because I figured it was the Constitution he must have been talking about, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, yes, of course.
See what happens when you make assumptions there, Charlotte?
Right. Yeah. And so I went in, and I took an oath. And education certainly isn't mentioned in the Constitution. In fact, it's unconstitutional to have a department. And so I started collecting all the documents, the secret documents and everything, and I got them all and took them home and finally managed to get myself, you know, dismissed after leaking a document on technology. And then I came home with all the documents. But in regard to the president, when I came home, I picked the little book up. I thought, I guess I better read this. Better late than never, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if I'd read it, and I wouldn't have gone to Washington. If I had believed them, I probably would not have gone. I would have been so upset with what I read. So I'm really glad I didn't read it because I went through the experience of finding out, yes, Ronald Reagan was not what people think he is. And anyway, so I wrote the letter. I never got a response. I went home, and then I called Ed Meese's office because I was told that the letter had been sent on to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Cribb, who was his assistant, I talked to him. I said, I'm coming down to Washington. I want to talk to you. He said, fine. I paid my own way down to Washington. I didn't see Ed Meese. I saw Ken Cribb. And he patted me on the back. He said, well, Charlotte, aren't you glad the president read your letter? And I said, no, I'm not. The purpose of the letter was for me to get a response. I want to know, does he know what's going on and why is it allowed to continue? And I want a signature so I can show the world that he knows. And I said, oh, well, you don't really need all that. And that was the end of that, huh? So anyway, the letter is up on deliberatedumbingdown.com. But then you asked me earlier, was he controlled? Well, you know what? I think control, there are perhaps to a certain extent. But what made him go over to Geneva and sign the education agreement with Gorbachev to merge the two education systems?
Well,
which is what he did.
Mm-hmm. What made him do that?
Yes, I mean, I don't believe that was control. I think he sincerely wanted to do that. And he had Nancy, of course, on his side, too, who loved Gorbachev. And so what does he do? He turns the system is really, and now, you know, there's the news is out. I mean, the Washington Post, all the articles in regard to Margaret Spellings at her press conference talking about how we're adopting the Russian curriculum. I mean, please. And this is all in all those documents that I picked up through the years about the U.S.-Soviet education agreements. They're all in my book. All the newspaper articles about Russians in the classroom, American classroom. And actually, the method is the Russian method. And it's everything that you can go back to William Foster, the head of the Communist Party in 1932, toward a Soviet America. Everything that he wrote about in that book has been put into this country. I wrote an article about George Bush about a couple of years ago called Walk Like a Duck, Talks Like a Duck.
I think I read it, yes.
Yeah, it's on it's on my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com.
Well, I think it's also posted on, Rents or...
Yeah, News it is, and News with Views, you know, Paul Walters' wonderful website.
Right.
Go read that. Walks Like a Duck, Talks Like a Duck. He's put in everything aside from education, regionalism, communitarianism, which is communism. Regionalism is communism. He's putting in the mental health, and boy, is that ever communism.
Oh.
Alger Hiss started that one.
Yeah, that
You can just, you know, tickly ball all the way down. And then you have, you know, the left, of course, they love to say, and it is Hitler, too. I'm not saying it isn't. But they like to say it's fascism. I say it's a really unbelievable cocktail of both. And I will say this, that going back to Ronald Reagan, this is so disappointing. I was the liaison with the White House on the private sector initiatives, and that was nothing more nor less than the merger of the public and private sector. And I went over to the White House for the first meeting. I was never invited back after the first one. I'll tell you why. Because I said, you know, I'm not highly educated, but isn't a public-private partnership corporate fascism? How can you have any accountability there to the people?
That's how I'd define it.
Yep. And they looked at me and said, lovely lady in the White House, she said, well, Charlotte, you know, I guess that nobody's really looked at it that way. But they'd looked at it that way because the Washington Post had quite an interesting article in regard to the Republican Party's shedding their antipathy towards a mixed economy. They had it's a good article. It's in my book as well. And that was Ed Meese, the whole crowd, Reagan people, shedding their antipathy, which says, you know, getting rid of their old allegiance towards a free market,
mm-hmm.
and our form of government, our economic system. The public-private partnerships are terrible. I mean, people are accepting them now because they're dumbing down. They accept it as normal.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got these agreements that came in, you know, NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA, and
that's right.
Yeah,
same
and
thing.
They're taking our manufacturing jobs. I mean, 85% of the manufacturing jobs in this country are gone, and
right.
And it brings me right back to the educational system. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about outcome-based education and No Child Left Behind, you find now that if there is a need for, well, first of all, the people that are in the community of science or engineering or doctors and so forth, you find them, you know, going out of practice or having their jobs dispensed with because it's moving offshore. And then you have a situation where the people are graduating from college. They couldn't, I mean, if there's a need for a scientist or an engineer or a doctor, they bring them in from out of the country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a tragedy. This country is so uneducated now that there's hardly a word for it. But, you know, when I was talking about earlier on, James Block,
mm-hmm.
Spady's coworker, and really, by the way, outcomes-based education, I kept trying to tell everybody that that was the failed Bloom's mastery learning. And I'm going to give you a quote here, because that mastery learning project was one of the first in the country in 1968. They used the inner-city kids in Chicago. And by 1980, half the freshman class had dropped out. It was a total disaster. That was the first. And yet, when that happened, it was considered by Education Week, leading journal, a human tragedy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It was the educators talking. Human tragedy. But the guy, one of the guys involved, went on to bigger things for the Carnegie Corporation with teacher certification, and then later on ended up being the chairman of the National Foundation for Education, or the whatever it is, I can't, Endowment for Education, Carnegie's thing. Way high up, Schulman, he got rewarded every step up. Every single time there was this disaster with the Skinner method, and the lifelong learning goes with it, individualized education, because you can check values much more easily, the correctness of them, if it's individualized education. That's the whole mastery learning concept. They all got promoted as the students were dropping out. And so, but this is very important, this particular quote. This is from Spady in 1993. And he was the guy, the real guru, who got blamed mostly for it. Bloom should have, too. It was called On Outcome-Based Education, A Conversation with Bill Spady. He said, now, people, listen to this, and think in terms of the direct instruction that's going in across the country under the Reading First program that Bush has brought out of Texas, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In January of 1980, this is Spady talking, we convened a meeting of 42 people to form the Network for Outcome-Based Schools. Now, outcome, that means results. You're training people to be good in the workforce, basically, not to be thinkers or anything else, or entrepreneurs. You have to reach a certain goal, a certain specific indicator that they want. Outcome-based, performance, results, You've heard that all before.
Oh, yes.
Now, most of the people who were there, he's talking now, Jim Block, I'm going to give you his quote again, Champlin, had a strong background in mastery learning, since it was what outcomes-based ed was called at that time. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Mastery learning.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, he says, but I pleaded with the group not to use the name mastery learning in the network's new name because the word mastery had already been destroyed through poor implementation. Now, what he's talking about is the Chicago case that I just mentioned, where half of the inner city kids dropped out. Heaven knows what happened to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go on to the Block quote. Now, I call it redistribution of brains. Hmm? We all know what redistribution of wealth is because of NAFTA and Gatinol, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, this is Block talking. Now, he's one of the top guys with Mastery Learning, OBE. One of the striking personal features of Mastery Learning, outcomes-based education, direct instruction, for example, is the degree to which it encourages cooperative individualism in student learning as opposed to selfish competition.
Well, wait a minute. Cooperative individualism, that almost sounds like an oxymoron.
It is.
Cooperative individualism.
Yes, that's James Block.
All right, go ahead.
Big hot shot. As opposed to selfish competition. See, competition is selfish.
Right, right.
You know, he's got to be one you-know-what.
Yeah.
Just how much room is there left in the world for individualists who are more concerned with their own performance than the performance of others? One of the striking societal features of mastery learning is the degree to which it presses for a society based on the excellence of all participants rather than one based on the excellence of a few. Can any society afford universal excellence?
Yeah, but in order to accomplish that goal,
yeah,
you literally have to dumb down the rest of, I mean, you have to change, or you have to alter the mindset of the free-thinking individual.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. But that's what, I mean, he's admitting it. He says, can any society afford universal excellence, which is dumbing down everybody, right?
Right, yes.
Or must all societies make most people incompetent so that a few can be competent? Now, look, that's for real. And that is the philosophy. And that is why right now, with no child left behind, what they mean is no child allowed to move ahead.
Right.
And it is deliberate, and I know it because when you take people like David Hornbeck, who's Carnegie Corporation, mm-hmm. and he was very responsible for the restructuring of education across the country, which really was the destructuring, okay, and he was also the former commissioner of education in Maryland who recommended mandatory community service. David Hornbeck, not an educator, he has a religious background, a minister. Carnegie Corporation, very, very important guy. He wrote the book with Lester Solomon, Human Capital. And in that book, you can go get it on the internet, folks. Go read it. They say that the employers, the corporations, don't want highly, this is a direct quote, don't want highly educated people because they cause too much trouble.
Right, they're free thinkers.
They ask questions.
Uh-huh.
They quit their jobs. They move up. Whatever. And it says right there. Now, that's David Hornbeck, who all of us allowed to be the leader of the restructuring of education in our country, which was outcomes-based, performance-based, Skinner, and behavior modification. And we allowed this to happen. This started when little Charlotte, when I went into the U.S. Department of Ed. That was the beginning of this. Under a nation at risk. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The nation at risk was the biggest phony created problem. You always, if you want to get something, it's a dialectic.
Right, problem,
you
reaction, solution.
The problem, people scream, and then you impose a solution. And the solution was nothing other than Pavlov.
So basically, with the outcome-based education, and it reminds me of, you know, when you watch mainstream news and you watch these guys telling these people what to think, I mean, these commentators on TV are literally telling people what to think. For example, Sean Hannity, or you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and their message is so ridiculous. Yet the majority of the American people believe it because they are so dumbed down. So this whole thing is designed for a few, which would be the elite, to control them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
It's and a brilliant plan. You have to give them that.
Oh, I have always. And it says, I always think of Whitaker Chambers, you know, who was the major editor of Life magazine, who was a communist. Some of your readers, you know, listeners are probably too young to remember him. But, you know, he was the one that really pulled down Alger Hiss as a Soviet agent. And in his book, Witness, a wonderful book. You can get it on the Internet, I think, buy it. In the beginning, you know, he writes a little letter to his daughters, and he says that it was really hard leaving the Communist Party, because he said I knew that I was going over to the losing side, and that's exactly what you're talking about. I mean, we're the losers here, and it's deliberate, and these people are wicked bad. That's I could say worse than that. Wicked, wicked bad. And they have had it planned for years. I can think of 20 or 30 major change agents at the international level, national, local. These are the people highly trained out of the original offices right in Bethel, Maine, believe it or not, where they set up their offices in the late 40s. These people came out of OSS.
All right, we've got to stop you. Got to take a break, okay? Hold that thought. The OSS. We'll be back in 3, The American Awakening, with my special.
1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Right.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Short segment coming up here. Already starting to get callers. I haven't opened up the phone lines yet, Charlotte. Do you want to continue? You want me to open the phone lines up the second hour? What else have we got here? Yeah, I know you wanted to get into Richard Armitage, right?
Yeah, I do want to talk about that. I do feel that people got to understand that the merger between the United States, believe it or not, and the Soviet Union has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to call it Soviet Union. You can call it international socialism, all the different countries that are socialist, because that's how it was planned by Lenin and Stalin, right? That the countries would become socialist, like we are, England, et cetera, all over the world, and then they would form blocks, regions. Regionalism is communism. And then the regions would join together, and you would have the international socialist world.
Right.
Now, that was what Norman Dodd was told, and I would like to talk about that a little bit later, because that the hearings on the tax-exempt foundations, the whatever, 3,000 pages, are now on my secondary website explaining how the tax-exempt foundations basically wanted to destroy our system of government, our economic system, and bring it into an international socialist system. And all the testimony is on that website. And it's for the first time ever, I bought the last copy of the transcript of those hearings, because the foundations in 1954 bought up all the copies. They didn't want the American people to know what had taken place during that extraordinary, important series of hearings that shut down by the Eisenhower administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like that. People have got to understand that when Norman Dodd was told by the head of the Ford Foundation that the instructions came from the White House to use their money to change America so that the United States could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Now, that happened. And the agreements that were signed from that time on, the first agreement was signed 5 years later in 1958 by Dwight Eisenhower. And the agreements were in many, many different areas, not just education. And we've been signing them ever since. And then, but the important thing to remember here is that it was President Ronald Reagan who signed the first really important agreement on American education, which merged our American system of education with the Soviet system. What we got was their method, and we gave them a lot of the technology. And so I have all the documents on that.
Well,
and,
yeah. I'm sorry, quick question. Yeah. Before we go up to the top of the hour
right.
break, I want to ask you, this is obviously why there is such a big problem that the government has with people that want to homeschool their children.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the UN, go back to UNESCO way mm-hmm. back in the beginning, they called for total control of all education, including homeschooling, anything. The child belongs to the state. And the homeschoolers are the last bastion, I often say, for all of us, not just education. I believe the homeschoolers represent the largest group of Americans that are informed and could say, because they understand history, well, they've learned it, could save this country
mm-hmm.
if we could just get them mobilized. We cannot afford to let them be taken over and destroyed like what's going on right now in Europe, where they're invading their houses and taking the children out and putting the parents in jail.
Right. Well, all right, we got to go to the top of the hour break. But it's interesting to note, I just read an article the other day about this kid that won a spelling bee, and I'm not sure, I think it was California,
yeah.
but he was homeschooled.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And actually, we can go on the other side, but I do want to quote something from the Wall Street Journal.
All right, we got to hold that thought. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes this time with my special guest, Charlotte Isery. Stick with us, and we may open up the phone lines. Just hang loose. All right, see you in two.
I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could.
It's true.